this episode of the Chai Pod, Hijabi Hip Hop, we talk to the first lady of Muslim hip hop, Misunderstood, for episode 3. I'm your host, Brother Dash, for the Chai Pod.
She probably think that Jesus died on the cross just so she could sin and take her clothes off. If she think that, she's a beautiful liar, needs to upgrade her wardrobe with Kmart's and the buyers. With her business attire, printed, she fired. Her red carpet long weave looks so tired. If I wore what she wore, it'd probably give me body. What she gonna say when she meet God? I'm so sorry. What you know about? What you know about Dean? What you know, huh? What you know? I said Beyonce's not popping.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Chai Pod. As you heard in the opening intro, you heard a little snippet from today's guest on the Chai Pod, the first lady of Muslim hip hop, Misunderstood. Misunderstood, welcome to the Chai Pod, and thank you for having me. So tell our audience who, you know, may not be familiar with Misunderstood, who is Misunderstood? What is Misunderstood about?
Well, basically, Misunderstood is my stage moniker. My name is Tavasha Shannon, but I thought of that after going through numerous names. I had a lot of different street names. I was Charisma at one point. I was Henny at another point.
Henny.
I was Peaches at another little point. You know, I was all these different names. I had to find something that fit me. I was actually the Misunderstood Muslima before shortening it.
Okay.
I had to shorten it because it just seemed really long. But it just seemed like everything I would say would get misconstrued. So I was like, this fits me. Because it says someone always, when they do the telephone line, it's always mixed up by the time it gets to the end of the line, to the last person. Something that I said totally misquoted and people totally misunderstand almost everything that I say. So I felt like the name fits me, even though people break it down and they say, are you misunderstood? Like people understand you? Uh-huh. Are you misunderstood? Like people don't understand you? Like two different. I said, no, people don't understand. So that's how I ended up coming up with that name.
Now, when did you get started in hip hop?
I started out at 11. I went to a real strict Islamic school, Shia Islamic school. And it just seemed like they were giving out a lot of rules. Everything was, you can't do this, and then we can't do that, and no talking to the boys, and no, you can't. They were giving out demerits, but all this stuff. It just seemed like it was very strict, and I wanted something. I started out doing something for fun. It was something, you know, we would leave class early or ask for the hallway pass, go to the bathroom, I'd be in there. You know, and then you be, right. You come up with something about your school or whatever I was rapping about at the time, and it started off as that, something fun, and then the teacher have to come in, all right, everyone to class, mm-hmm. And it grew, and then it became, you know, street stuff, hood
okay.
rap.
So you didn't start out doing what we might consider quote-unquote Muslim hip-hop or Islamic lyrics and that sort of thing. You kind of came out just as like straight kind of hip hop, you know, that we think of with like 50 or Jay-Z or somebody like that.
Yeah, basically like I could have made it real big. That's the direction that we were going, like the kind of people that I was running into, the kind of party tracks they making out and I was making, and the real street stuff, and they would say, oh, she's the next Foxy, she's the next Kim, mm-hmm. she's the next whoever's they felt was hot at the time. Well, she's the next one.
When did that direction change? What brought that on? Like, what kind of made you start to move in a different direction with your hip hop?
I moved in a different direction because I got a writer's block while writing, and I just didn't push it. Like, some people probably force it, and then you come out with material, and then your material is not good. So I didn't push it. When I got the writer's block, nothing came to me but Islamic material. And that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to record this. I remember the first track that I thought of was The Stallion and Kmart's. I was working with this producer named Sharif from Brooklyn. And I was saying to myself, why does this just came to me? It's obligatory. We Stallion and Kmart's and we wore with pride in our long black skirts. Like, I said, oh yeah. Then after that, another one came. Then another one came. So it was something real easy. Whereas the other stuff, it seemed so forced. It just wasn't working. I couldn't get my punchlines. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get something that would sound good. So I didn't push it. I went for the Islamic stuff. And now I am the first lady of Islamic hip hop. Even though I'm happy that sisters have, you know, came after me and they doing their thing.
Now, what's been your experience? Like you kind of just mentioned just now about, you know, other sisters, and perhaps you've been kind of an inspiration to some others that have come after you. Have you spoken at all to some of the others who are trying to do hip hop or other forms of musical expression? Have you spoken to other women, you know, kind of in this hip hop thing, and what's been those conversations? What have they been like? What have you guys been talking about?
Well, usually I'll run into someone who might say, oh, I do poetry, you put me on your new CD, or I want you to hear my stuff. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when I meet young, whether Muslim women, period, who have talent, a lot of times they're not very confident about their talent, so they don't really want to do too much with it. They might just want me to hear it, or, you know, something that they do.
Now, that is one of the things I hear about you, is that you have a very confident delivery. How's that developed, where you've had such a confident kind of delivery with your rhymes?
It's just something you always thinking when you are, one thing they try to tell you when you want to be an artist, especially a rap artist, that your delivery, you need to have delivery, you need to have personality, you need to be confident. Mm-hmm. Some people might confuse it with cocky or arrogance, but you have to be confident. Like, you need these things. That's the way your wordplay, you need these things in order for you to be successful as an artist. So even if I have no confidence, I better go and purchase some. Go buy some, somewhere, right, find right, some confidence. Because right. How am I going to get it on the stage in front of people? You got to think. If you're thinking big, you're thinking stage. You don't have no confidence, you can't go on the stage and stand in front of thousands of people and make them believe what you're saying, or believe that you have it and that you're as hot as you say you are. So I had to build that confidence. That confidence in many ways is very contrary and opposite to my character, because the truth of the matter is, you know, I go through my high and low points too sometimes. Okay. Where I have periods of insecurity, or I might have some doubt, or I might not be too sure of myself from time to time. I make everyone always feel like I'm confident and I'm strong, and then I go through weak moments, and there's times when, you know, when I get attacked verbally, especially from critics and stuff, all of that, I don't take all that in and just be like, oh, they're talking about me, and it blows over my shoulder. Some of that stuff really affect me, and it really, and then I take it to the pen, and uh-huh. then I address them same people, and that's how I deal with it. I'll take that same stuff, I'll get upset about it, then they'll hear a rap about them, a song about them, not long after. So.
Now, tell me, now, speaking of some of your raps, do you have one or two that kind of stand out in your mind as ones that are kind of near and dear to your heart?
Well, for starters, I have to say my political stuff.
Okay.
You know, I don't know at what point you want to end the interview.
No, go right ahead.
interview. But I like my political stuff. My oppression is worse than death, which is for Imam Jamil Alameen and other incarcerated Muslims, you know, and other incarcerated people, Shada Shakur, Mumia. It was like, all my political stuff, I like it because I really feel like I'm taking a, especially since I was never like a part of a Black Panther Party, I wasn't a part of no real movement, civil rights movement, I'd be really feeling like I'm taking a stand. So I'd be really proud of myself, I'd be really happy, I'd be like, oh yes, I love this stuff. And not only that, I like it because I'm amazed at myself how much I was able to say and get away with. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful things on women is their mouth. So I love to just know that I could say whatever I want and nobody's gonna do anything. So they, though my political stuff, uh-huh. they mean a lot. They're dear to me. Even though I don't know Imam Jamil Alameen and I don't know his family, I felt like the three things that you could do to handle a situation, then when you seeing a wrong, speaking out, I feel like that's what I was able to do, which means so much to me. So that's starters. So I'd have to say my political stuff. Then I'm thinking near to me after my political stuff would have to be, I have a song on the second CD, MWA, called Malaz One. And on the song, you know, I get to talk about my discrimination that I face with different jobs, you know? Okay. And I get to, I should have made a whole song about that, but it's just the fact that that's in there. And what I was basically, I had a choice when the job was being presented to me. I had a choice of, you know, taking the hijab off and getting a job, or what I did was not take the hijab off and then I just didn't get the job, mm-hmm. you know? So that means a lot to me too, you know?
Now, do you get, talk to me about some of the feedback that you get from people in the audience. Many of our listeners may not know that you do shows. You do perform both here and in the UK, and we'll talk about the UK in a moment. Talk to us about the sisters first. Okay, so the women in the audience, what kind of reaction?
Usually women support me because I'm taking a stand for them and I'm walking for them. So usually women, for the most part, they support me. A lot of women too, they also come to me and tell me the topics they would like me to discuss on my future projects, because they know that I'm the one that can talk to them. Because some women, they want to be able to say the things that I say and they can't. Or some women may sing and the whole singing thing with the voice becomes attractive, so they can't do anything. They don't know how to rap or how to put the poetry together. So the singers are, you know, silence. So they say, "Dad, man, we want somebody who's gonna tell the brothers what they're doing to us, and mm-hmm. someone who's gonna say X, Y, and Z." They love the fact that I'm a hijabi and I represent for that. They love the hijab songs. That's another that's very dear to me, my hijab songs. I represent for the ladies. My co-wife song, you know, for women who have a problem with their man getting another wife. That becomes an issue. They like the two verses where I dog the brothers for not doing it's supposed to be polygyny, mm-hmm. but we all refer to it as polygamy. But the polygamy, when I dog the brothers who are doing that and not doing it correctly, and these brothers, that they love that. But then when I talk in the third verse about how it can work and how some people are doing it right, then they like. But they're gonna be really upset when I work on a new track about the sisters who are stopping their husbands from getting otherwise. I'm gonna flip it on them. Co-wife part two, but for the sisters who are preventing their husbands. So the sisters, it's 50-50, but for the most, they show me more love than they do hate. I mean.
Now what about the brothers? What has been your experience with the brothers in terms of their reaction to Misunderstood?
I get love from the brothers too. Not as much as I should. They uh-huh. really have a tendency to take things personal because I might be talking about them on a few records. So some brothers feel, you know, a certain kind of way. They might feel uneasy. But, for the brothers who are doing what they're supposed to do, then and it doesn't apply to them, they support it. They're like, "This is good, you know. I want my children to listen to it. I have daughters." So I get those type of things, but brothers always ask me to talk to their daughters, hang with their children, okay. you know, different things like that, mentor them, that type of stuff. So it really, it varies.
I kind of want to move now into kind of the whole performing piece. I know you do performing here in the States, and then you're also quite popular in the UK. What are the differences you notice between the audiences in the UK and here in the U.S.?
Well, in the U.S., the people in the U.S. are very spoiled. So they have a little bit of everything here. So really, nothing really impresses them. They don't appreciate a lot of stuff. It's the same as it's in comparing a third world country in the U.S. You know, it's like third world country appreciate food a lot better than we do. Mm. We'll waste it. So I think that in the UK, they appreciate the art form more. Not even just Islamic hip-hop, just hip-hop, real hip-hop, period. That's why old school rappers, Public Enemy,
BDP, and think about De La Soul.
So they're making money. And it's because the people over there really like the real hip-hop. And the message they like, they pay attention to. So I just think they're more appreciative, which is really good. And
tell me a little bit about you. You recently did some shows, I believe, in the UK. Tell me about your last trip to the UK. What were the shows like?
Well, a lot of the shows were not really properly promoted. Okay. Or advertised, rather. So they didn't really have a good turnout, especially not how I was used to when I first did my first ever set of shows in the UK. The sister shows so packed that it was not, or like most of the sister shows, like the sisters were just getting used to having these sister shows. Now they have lots and lots of them. Okay. But before, it was like, oh, this is something new. Sister's fashion show, or sister such and such show. So then all these sisters started coming out the woodwork, you know, to display their talent at these sister shows. So now it just seemed like when I went, it was, you know, either the economy, people didn't have the money for the tickets, or things just wasn't being promoted properly, wasn't enough, not enough time, or something like that. But
what are some of the challenges you face that are unique to a Muslim female artist, as opposed to the Muslim male artists?
Less shows, less money. I mean, a lot of times people always want to talk to me about Feisty Pretty Love for the sake of Allah stuff, mm-hmm. Sadaqa Show, Sadaqa Price, mm-hmm. You know. People always want to, I think that the male artists, they get way better treatment than I do. You know, like people probably want them to do a show for the Eid, people paying all their accommodations, people flying them here and there. They get more opportunities. Like me, I've just been to the UK. If you take, besides the fact that like I was raised like an army brat, my dad was in the army, so I've been to places like Germany, like living there and stuff. But if you don't count that, I haven't been invited by any Muslims. They haven't, you know, besides the UK, I haven't been able to go anywhere else because no one, either they don't know about me or it's the whole women thing. So that is definitely an issue. And I watch certain people, you know, I watch them get invited to Dubai, mm-hmm. you know, and people pay them nice prices for shows. And I watch them do the same E shows in New Jersey every year, mm-hmm. you know. it frustrates me. I'm like, you know, so that type of thing happens. I have to say, second, they don't have to, they don't work, I don't think they get judged as much, you know? Mm-hmm. I gotta get all of the judgments. Someone see a picture of me, if my ears is out, they gonna start a whole thing about that. Yeah, sister, and Assalamu Alaikum, your music is good and everything, but your ears are out, and I seen it in a whatever, you know, just different stuff. So they stopped me from participating in charity. I know that the males get to participate in more charity events.
Okay.
Events that raise money for orphans here, events that going to give to these people. You know, it was a cyclone in Bangladesh, and we going to all have an event, and this people going to come. Like, they get to do that kind of stuff. I'd be like, well, if I could take part, some, you know, if you all would let me be a part of the show, then I could get a part of the blessing too. Nobody wants me to get any of that.
Now, so what is in store for Misunderstood for the future? What are you currently working on?
Well, right now, to be honest with you, I'm really trying to work on getting my bachelor's degree that I'm supposed to be attaining in June of 2008.
Good.
So I'm really trying to work on this thesis paper. I'm not really as focused as I should be on this paper, you know, because I'm working also full-time teaching pre-kindergarten, and this and them kids are draining all my energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, aside from what I'm trying to do academically,
right,
and, you know, career-wise, musically, I want to put together some more material. I'm thinking about CDs and books and write autobiographies, because I did start writing my autobiography, and my teacher gave me an A for it. It was only like 17 pages.
Okay.
But it was like a dynamite 17 pages. So I'm thinking about the autobiography, you know, that kind of thing. I'm still have my battles and my struggles with the music thing, so sometimes I'll be wondering about am I going to become this spoken word artist? Am I going to get rid of the music? Am I going to be spoken word like you, Brother Dash? You know what I mean? Am I going to be putting together a book or a poetry book? You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to be giving lectures and speeches like Napoleon? You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes I say to myself, I'd be like, where we going to go? And
Napoleon,
please, last time I seen him, no for surety, he put me on. He told me I call his wife and get some high deeds about that music. He is really trying to, oh, yeah. And he was surprised, too, that I knew about the men hedge. I knew what it was. But, yeah, and it's very, you know, so you see how we change so much? So I'm still trying to think about what I want to do, you know? Not really quite sure.
Where do you see this whole kind of Muslim hip-hop, you know, spoken word, whatever, Muslim entertainment, where do you see this going?
Well, for starters, I don't see it going too far.
Okay.
Because I could see it getting to a point, just like I read in the newspaper the other day, the Jews wouldn't let this Jewish guy. He was supposed to be in some film, and okay. He was in Hollywood, and they started saying, "Listen, if you want your kids to go here to the school, you can't be in Hollywood," you know. So I think it's going to get to a point where I don't know if you want to. It's safe to call them radical mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's going to get to a point where certain like Muslims are going to be like, "Listen, they're going to start giving real ultimatums. Like, look." Y'all can't do these shows no more. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. Or this is going to happen or that. Or it's going to get to a point where, you know, that's how I feel. Like, that's where I feel the direction is going to go. Somebody's going to come along, some group of people, and then they're going to make it to where people are going to start coming in, putting things that people have. People are going to get turned off from that. They're going to be like, oh, no longer do we want to hear this poetry. Next thing you know, you be the only person doing poetry and you have no supporters. Or nobody to buy it. People are gonna just stop buying it. Cause you know Muslims already want everything for free. So for people who are doing it and trying to make either a living off of it or trying to make some money off of it, people gonna rally together and decide they don't want to pay. And they're gonna be like, we don't support this. This is haram. And I think it is gonna get to a point where people really going really soon. The knowledge is very scarce now, but I think soon people gonna be reading them books for real. All types of things, interpretations, all stuff gonna come out of it. And women, like, think about it. I could see the same thing that's happening in countries where women are writing books, even though some of them women writing books are writing it against Islam. So I guess that's why they're getting the death threats. But just like they're trying to have an Afghan idol, somebody is gonna come for that lady. Some lady in Afghan, she the first Afghan. And then the first thing they show was all the women in the burqa and stuff saying,
like,
look,
the American Idol equivalent in Afghanistan.
Yeah, she's trying to be an Afghan
about.
Idol, right? Muslim sister with her convertible Kima.
Uh-huh.
Soon people won't be like, listen, whoever them people are, they're going to be rallying and stuff. So, and that's not going to be a good look for us. I don't see people really supporting it as much because I can see people really.
Now, do you see yourself doing, I mean, you know, you'll stay, I can see you still staying with positivity and having something of value to say, but do you see yourself moving from speaking directly to Muslims, but just doing quote unquote positive hip hop? Do you ever see you going in that direction?
No, I don't. Because I started out doing what I was doing for us. You know, it was for us because I didn't feel like our children had an alternative. I didn't feel like there was really nothing. There is Muslim artists. There is Muslim music. It's not the same. It's watered down sometimes. It's not what people want to hear, the issues that the youth will talk about or what's really going on with us. It's everything is just, you know, making...
I mean, one of the things that I see in Muslim hip-hop and also in the Nasheed music is it doesn't really stand up well against secular, you know, hip-hop, if you want to call it secular. More so in terms of just the skill, just in terms of, you know, how good it is. I think of, you know, Muslim hip hop artists, I think that's a problem that is there. And I think in the nasheed industry, nasheed music as well, a lot of these guys that sing, I just don't think they're very good.
I agree. That's why I started, because I didn't feel like a lot of people were good either. now, you know, so.
Okay, good. Is it, as we kind of wrap up this episode of the Chai Pot, is there anything that you wanted to kind of leave our listeners with before we kind of wrap up for today? Certainly, I mean, shout out any websites you have, you know, the albums that are out there, any shows you got coming up. You know, this is your, you know, your opportunity to let folks know how they can get in touch with you if they want, you know, more information, that sort of thing.
I don't want nobody getting in touch with you. Let's see. About to say how many pages of friend requests I got, because this is becoming a little bit too much. So let me see if I should even leave people.
Okay,
MySpace.
Don't let them know that you're on MySpace, because you get too many.
Oh, look at this. See, six pages that I need to check. That I haven't been able to go through yet, but
they can listen to some samples on your MySpace.
Oh yeah, on my MySpace. That's MySpace/ misunderstood.
And how are you spelling misunderstood?
MSUND as in David, AST as in Tom, OOD as in David. So
the best thing is to go to the MySpace page.
The best is my MySpace, as well as typing in my government. You type in my government name.
Okay.
You'll come up with like two or three interviews.
Tavasha Shannon.
Yeah,
correct?
You'll come up with like two or three interviews that I did, because normally when people introduce me, they like to say Tavasha Shannon, known as Misunderstood.
Okay.
I'm Misunderstood.
I hear you. But so, that's good. I think people know at least how to get information on what you do, some samples of your work, and you know, definitely just keep looking out on the internet for any shows that might be coming up. Certainly, all you folks out there in the UK, look out for Misunderstood as well.
Yeah, new project. Inshallah, I'm going to title a new CD, State of the Ummah. And then instead of, you know, the president giving us a presidential address, I'll be giving my State of the Ummah address throughout the CD, because we have a few little issues and things that I like to discuss, and that'll be done on the CD. So until then, everyone, speak the truth all the time. Say a word directed to the right, and it's misunderstood. The first day of Islamic hip hop, peace be upon you. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Chai Pod with me, your host, Brother Dash. Remember, you can subscribe for free to The Chai Pod by going to iTunes, of course, keyword The Chai Pod, or you can visit our website, thechaipod.com, or my own site, brotherdash.com, where you can also subscribe from those sites. New episodes are released twice a month on the 1st and 15th, and please tell your peeps about The Chai Pod. Thanks again. I'm Brother Dash.